My guest at this time is Myron Ebell, director of the Center for Energy and the Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We've asked him to comment on the Trump administration, through the Environmental Protection Administration, rolling back Obama-era fuel efficiency standards that required cars and light trucks to get 50 miles per gallon starting by 2025. Supporters of the old rules say the rule would drastically reduce greenhouse gases. Critics say it's a nightmare for the auto industry. So, who's right? And that's what we'll ask now. And Myron, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. I think it's a nightmare for consumers because what the government has done by vastly increasing the fuel economy standards is to tell consumers, we don't care what you want in a car, and we don't care how much it costs. We just care that it gets really good gas mileage. So that's what you're going to be able to buy.
What's the impact based on this rule? Had it gone forward, what would people be paying for cars by 2025 compared to what they were paying now?
Well, since these new standards were adopted in the Obama administration in the last 4 or 5 years, cars have already gone up a lot, several thousand dollars for the same car. So, and yet the standards are still some years away. So I think it's hard to say how much, but basically people who wanted to buy a new car in 2025, if these Obama-era standards had been kept in place, would be faced with, if they wanted to buy a car they could afford, they would be faced with buying a much smaller car, a much lighter car, a much less powerful engine. Consequently, you know, it wouldn't meet the needs of a lot of people. And moreover, a smaller and a lighter car is less safe than a larger and heavier car. So, and I think many consumers value safety in cars. And so what they're being told is, sorry, the federal government knows best about what you ought to be driving. And so that's I think, would be the result if these standards had gone ahead.
Generally speaking, fuel economy has gotten quite a bit better anyway over the past decade or two. Is the government in any way responsible for that, or is this just the way that the market works in the auto industry?
Probably some of both. Engines have been getting more efficient right along, but consumers, drivers, have been buying cars that use that greater efficiency to buy a bigger car or a faster car. So I think, the guess was in the Obama administration is we can make this work because we're going to drive up the price of gasoline. And once gasoline gets to be $6, $7, $8 a gallon, people will all want to buy much more fuel-efficient cars. And the additional cost of those cars, they'll be able to save in gas costs. But with gasoline under $3 a gallon, people want the performance and they want the size. They're willing to spend a certain amount each week on gasoline, and they want a bigger and better car. And so, but you know, the people who think that fuel economy is the only criteria for choosing a car are really they're moving against what consumers really decide when they spend their own money.
And what would the real impact be on the environment if this had gone forward? The number I saw was something to the equivalent of 140 coal-fired power plants would be taken out of the atmosphere, that much greenhouse gases and so forth. So what would the actual impact be?
All these numbers are always grossly exaggerated. I can't give you the real number because I don't have a clue as to what it is. But I do know that the all of these claims about savings are always of any type are always vastly exaggerated. And in the end, people find that they don't get as good mileage and that the supposed environmental benefits are less. The real issue is that people think that they can tell consumers what kind of car they should buy because of some overriding national goal. And that's why we're now seeing the push for electric vehicles. Well, let's see if consumers really want electric vehicles. I think they have some advantages, but I can also see that they have some really big disadvantages. And so I think at the end of the day, what we support at CEI is let's have consumers, buyers of cars, drivers of cars, have a bigger say in choosing a car, what kind of car they want to drive, and get the government out of telling people what they can drive.
So let the free market decide instead of a government mandate. That sounds pretty competitive. Myron, you mentioned the push towards electric vehicles, and now I'm going a little bit off the course of our original topic here, but there's also the push for driverless vehicles now, and there's even been, in you could say the fringe on the left, but I think it's even a little more mainstream than that, that it's somehow wrong for people to even own cars anymore. So how aggressive is the left getting on this?
Well, it's gone the furthest in California, where they are, you know, building a bullet train that costs an unbelievable amount of money. They want to push people into living in higher density, apartment blocks that are close to public transport, whether subways or bus lines, and that people really shouldn't, drive a car very often. Maybe they'll rent one under one of these sharing plans. So I think we'll see how, California has led the way over the years in a lot of things, and we'll see how far they get with this and how popular it is. My guess is that there are still an awful lot of Americans who value mobility. And so I think we're a long ways away from seeing the end of private ownership of cars. But that's just a guess. I can't see into the future.
Myron, last topic, and kind of going back to where we started with the EPA and rolling back the rules, we should also let our listeners know that you, I believe, led the Trump landing team at the EPA during the transition. And I'm sure you had many recommendations for the incoming administration a little over a year ago. When you look at the work that Scott Pruitt and the team has done there, how pleased are you, and what priorities would you encourage him to focus on next?
Scott Pruitt and his team have done a great job of implementing the president's very ambitious agenda for deregulating our energy economy and getting the economy growing again, particularly in things like heavy industry, manufacturing that uses lots of energy, energy production. In all those areas, I think the Trump agenda is very ambitious, and I think Scott Pruitt's doing a great job implementing it. The big problem is that they have been very slow. The White House has been very slow in getting people appointed to political positions, and the Senate has then been very slow in confirming those people. So it's now a year into the Trump administration and more, and there are still key jobs that are not filled, not only at EPA, but throughout the administration. So I'm very pleased with what's going on at EPA, but it could be a lot better if the White House would get its act together and the Senate Democrats would stop impeding votes to confirm nominees.
And finishing full circle here, Myron, California, as a result of a provision in the Clean Air Act, does not necessarily have to go along with the rule change. They can still implement it if they want to, and other states claim that they want to follow California's lead. Are we going to see a massive legal fight here? How's this going to play out?
I think there are two options, and it will be up to California to decide. One is that California will agree to go along with what the EPA and the Trump administration want to do to relax the fuel economy standards. And the reason for that is that they want to remain part of the club, the process. The other option is that they'll say, no, we're not going to sign on to that, in which case, this gets rather technical, in which case the EPA can then move to revoke the waiver that California got from the EPA that allows them to be part of this process. And once the waiver is revoked, then California, if they want to set their own standards, will have to go to court and win what would become a very major court victory, and one that I doubt that they would win. So those are their choices.
The battle never stops. Myron, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely. Myron Ebell, Director of the Center for Energy and the Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.